The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Meet Janice. Unfortunately, her thing is sneeze attacks every time spring returns.
I literally sneezed 40 times in a row once.
Luckily for Janice, at the Walmart pharmacy, she can get over-the-counter allergy relief for things like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes fast with online pickup or delivery.
No more suffering? That's nothing to sneeze at.
I see what you did there. Help survive allergy season with fast online pickup or delivery from Walmart. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself, Bully Ray, and Tommy Dreamer break down AEW Dynamite from last night. A couple of great promos. One from Bryan Danielson, another from Ruby Soho, and then we have the discussion of who could be next for MJF. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. The match that took place on Sunday, the one-hour Ironman match, where Bryan Danielson tapped out. Listening to that promo, Tommy, I got to be honest with you, it got me because, you know, both you and I, as dads, you know, we're do anything for our kids. And, you know, he, in that moment, when he's in that LaBelle lock, his first thought was, I gotta, and they beeped it out, but I gotta fucking fight here. I gotta get out of this because it's all about the fight. It's all about winning the match. But Max said something in a promo before the match where it was like, he talked about not being able to play with his kids. And that comment was ringing in Bryan Danielson's head when he was trying to fight out of that LaBelle lock and he couldn't feel his arm. And you know what? He got scared because family comes first and he tapped out. I mean, I can't say a good enough things about that promo from Bryan Danielson last night, Tommy.
As always, Bryan Danielson delivers in the ring. He delivers with his promos. That was an emotional promo with a lot of ramifications, and it's true. Do you know how many times, like, I have two daughters when they were little, you know, hug me, hug me, hug me, or pick me up, and there were times I couldn't pick both my kids up at the same time, or even just one, or I had to put them down because daddy's back hurts. Can we go for a walk? I can't go for a walk today because my body hurts. These are all things that are very, very true. And I think a lot of wrestlers have gone through this with their children. It sucks and it's hard. You try to gut it out. And, you know, like, I mean, your wife will be like, hey, you okay? Be like, yep. And you're gutting it out, doing whatever simple tasks are. Very, very truthful, meaningful promo. I loved it. It was a great way to let Bryan go away for a bit because Bryan has been wrestling a lot. And I do feel like AEW does a good job of letting some of their performers take some time. We saw it with FTR. They go away. It's also a good way. We say it a lot in Impact. I wish this person would go to Portland. Meaning I wish we had, this person's been here so long, it's better if they went away so they came back and we'd have something new for them as opposed to we have to have them on television or have to have them involved in something. It makes them very, very, your return means more when you are away and when there's too many wrestlers that, you know, you always have to try to find something because you have something like a talent like that. It's good that he goes away and that, you know, he has gone through the rigors of professional wrestling and he has had a boatload of injuries his body does need some time to heal, especially after the matches he's been having, especially after a 70-minute match. Yep. He's also not a kid in his 20s like MJF.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And in pro wrestling, we can control the absence at times. I thought BVDs, I thought his promo was excellent last night. And that is this type of storytelling I want to see more of from AEW. And I'm actually considerably interested in this new show that AEW is going to be doing. The coming attractions have me really intrigued. I want to see what happened during Adam Cole's stint while he was out and he was going through the anxiety issues in the nighttime week, you know, the tachycardia issues that he was describing. I want to see how Britt dealt with it. I want to see some of the backstage stuff. This show reminds me of that TNA show back in the day, I believe it's called Reaction, where we pulled the curtain back and we saw some real lives, some real animosity, some real struggles, some real trials and tribulations. That's the type of storytelling pro wrestling needs. So the Daniel Bryan vignette promo last night had me reeled in. I felt for him. Maybe it's time to say goodbye. Shit, is this the last time we're going to hear from Daniel Bryan, see from Daniel Bryan? His career already taken away because, almost taken away because of concussions. His children. Conversely, the Max promo is great. Because Max is holding that belt and he's hitting on all cylinders. And he's basically has said, and he said it at the press conference. I shut you all up. I proved you all wrong. You have nothing on me now, which on Monday is what I said could create an issue for AEW because nobody has anything on Max now. He can street fight and bleed in a double dog collar in a dog collar match, right? Wasn't he in the dog collar match?
Yeah, Punk? him and Punk. Yep.
Right. He can do that. Obviously, he can talk on the mic. And now he just went 60 minutes plus with Danielson. Where's the weakness? Where's the hole in the game? Who can back Max into a corner right now? Who should we believe in that can beat Max?
Right now, I can't think of anybody, Tommy.
I can think of anybody. It really doesn't matter. Here's why. There was a guy who used to say, I'll go all night long, and then I'll party all night. He would walk the walk and talk the talk, and he was the world champion for a long time. That's Ric Flair. MJF gives me those vibes, and it all depends on the challenger to find those weaknesses. If it's just different lifestyle, because now apparently MJF is single, cool. Anybody can, you know, have anybody's number at any time.
Okay, so let's say it was you. I disagree
with that assessment.
Let's say it was you. What weakness would you point out in him?
I have experience over him. How about that? I've been doing this 33 years. You do not live. You have not walked 1 mile in my shoes. Blah blah blah. That would be one simple thing. He could go after the exact same thing that I just said because of my age, or hey, this is one last run for me. And what I've done in my career, this is it. Like, I would put my career on the line against him. And if he beat me, cool, then yes, you are the better man. But you have to understand what I have done to human beings, and I will do them to you, and blah, blah, blah. That's just right off the top of my head.
My point is, why should a fan believe, if Max has already been in bloodbaths with a CM Punk who has considerable amount of time in the wrestling business, and Max has gone more than 60 minutes with Daniel Bryan, who has a considerable amount of time in this business, what weaknesses can anybody point out that fans are going to be like, ooh, yeah, okay. So you're going to tell him you're the king of extreme, and he's going to look at you and go, I've been in a dog collar match and lost half of my body weight in blood. That's my point. There's no holes in Max's game. What babyface is going to be able to put a gun to Max's head where the fan base is going to be like,
What holes were in Ric Flair's game? That's kind of how the same thing. And then, you know, on any given moment, if it was Dusty Rhodes, if it was Nikita Koloff, if it was Ricky Morton, if it was Ronnie Garvin, all these guys during the bash when he was going after anybody, there are. Why did we believe that somebody could beat him?
I also think that Bryan Danielson is going to be the answer eventually, because he explained it in that promo last night. He tapped because, not because he felt he couldn't fight it. He tapped because he had his family and his kids in his head because of what Max said to him before that match. So I'm sure at some point we're going to get a returning Bryan Danielson, and maybe it's Bryan Danielson is the one guy that could knock MJF off his pedestal. Because when I look at the roster right now, I don't know about that babyface. And like you both just said, the longer that Bryan Danielson is off our TV, the more that our heart is going to want him to come back. And maybe that, maybe, Bull, to answer your question, it's a returning Bryan Danielson.
It's not something that I would be interested in this point. I've seen the Danielson MJF story. I enjoyed it. I think both of the guys played their parts perfectly. Max has solidified. Now the fact that Max used a foreign object against Danielson and hit him with the oxygen tank, yeah, maybe that's a good reason to lock them in a cage and actually adhere to the steel cage rules, where there's no weapons in the cage, the door is double locked, and we have to have a clean, clean finish. But if I had a guy like, let's say, Wardlow, and I know we're going to talk about Wardlow later, like Wardlow, I would, if I'm Wardlow, I'm cutting the promo, Max, I'm not going to bust you open and spill your blood because I know you can handle that. I'm just going to beat the shit out of you. Max, I'm not going to wrestle you for 60 minutes. I'll wrestle you for 60 minutes because I've seen you do that already. I'm just going to beat the shit out of you. Max, I'm not going to talk on the microphone with you because I know you'll bury me on the mic. I'm just going to beat the shit out of you. My point is, in all aspects of the wrestling game, Max is not lacking in any of them, and I'd like to see which babyface is going to be able to expose him.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Meet Gail. Her thing is being a supermom. And supermom has a lot on her super-sized plate.
Ain't that the truth.
But at Walmart Pharmacy, supermom recently got her whole family updated on all their vaccines.
We knocked it out during a grocery run. No appointment.
That's next-level supermom. From pneumonia to shingles, HPV, and more, get no-cost vaccinations from an expert pharmacist where you already shop. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart. $0 copay with most insurances. State age and health restrictions may apply.
I'm Jake Mintz.
And I'm Jordan Schusterman, and we are the hosts of Baseball Barbacast.
If you love the World Cup but hated the soccer part, then I have some great news for you, because the World Baseball Classic is finally here.
And we'll be talking all things WBC and spring training as opening day approaches, and you should join us. You can download the Baseball Barbacast on the SXM app, available with all of our trials and popular plans, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That's B-A-R-B-Cast.
Goal! If MJF is in the ring kind of posing the question that Bully posed last segment, like, hey, you know, who could possibly step up to me? Who could possibly face me on this roster? If you hear a Cult of Personality play, that's something that I think everybody's going to want to see, Tommy.
Well, the place would go nuts. We would go nuts. We would be talking about it forever. Don't know if it's going to happen. Kind of hope it does, but if it doesn't, you got to move on and you got to look within your company. I think you have Jungle Boy, who's, you know, where a company it's also based, where wins and losses matter. He's coming off a few wins. Ricky Starks could get himself back up there, though. You know, defeating Chris Jericho. So, I mean, those are guys you can have. You know, the whole, hey, Max, you were, they've touched upon it a little bit, but now that he's the champion, it's a whole other, there's more stakes at hand, and you can go those different ways to show, like, I totally disagree about Max not having any type of vulnerability. Yes, he could walk the walk, but talk the talk. But yes, you did cheat to beat Bryan Danielson. There's people within your roster that right away, but yes, CM Punk would be the biggest wow factor if he did come back.
And Bully, to your point, quickly.
Hold on, Dave. Tommy, you say you disagree with, MJF having any weaknesses or anything like that, but I haven't heard you bring up a point or a fact or an example of what weaknesses Max has right now.
I used Ric Flair as my analogy. To state
what does Max have? What weaknesses does Max have?
The same thing that Ric Flair had. How do you say that no one could beat Ric Flair for going from the bashes? He would even face the Road Warriors, and there were times where you think the Road Warriors were going to be the world champion because of Ric Flair. So there was no holes in Ric Flair's game, but yet he still retained the championship. The same with MJF. There could, yes, you won this, you won that, but everybody is going to lose. And it, at any point, what you do, I mean, you could talk about, cool. Like they mentioned it a little bit about him. You were just engaged and now you're single. If you're going to go that personal route, what happened? You broke up with your girl, or did your girl break up with me? Institute a fake, his girlfriend. Oh, no, wait, she's on social media. You can't institute a fake girlfriend.
Okay, so if you want to tell me that a weakness of Max right now is his personal life, and a babyface would go down that road, Daniel Bryan did that a little bit with him a couple of weeks ago in a promo, but then Max just showed up and went 60-plus minutes with him. So I understand the Ric Flair comparison. I'm talking about modern day in AEW, what babyface could come out there and can, you know, pose a serious threat to Max right now. And yeah, you could say, well, Orange Cassidy or CM Punk or this or that. I think the kid at such a young age has proven so much that the only guy that I can think of, I mean, other than Punk, which is, we can always say Punk, but he's not there. The real story here is Wardlow.
Yes.
But they have hit the brakes with him again. And I'm not sure why. I know, Dave, you want to get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that because I think it's important. Don't forget, too, Bully, and I know we keep bringing up Punk, but he is still signed with AEW. Punk beat him. That dog collar match that we talked about, Punk won that dog collar match. The one guy on the roster that's been able to get over MJF time and time again has been CM Punk. So that story is still sitting there if they ever want to go back to it.
See, now that's a good example. Because I brought up the dog collar match and how he was a bloody mess, but Punk did beat him. So Punk coming back, excuse me, and exposing the fact that he beat him. Yeah, that's a good hole in Max's armor.
Hi, everybody. Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. Familiar? You should be. Well, now you can catch Mad Dog's Daily Bite each day as a podcast where you'll hear my thoughts and opinions on the biggest topics around the world of sports. NFL, baseball, golf, NBA, even the hockey. That you know you can count on. That's Mad Dog's Daily Bite. Drops daily anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can also hear me weekdays 3 to 6 Eastern on Mad Dog Unleashed, Sirius XM Channel 82, or anytime on the SXM app.
Tommy, a lot of truth to what Ruby, actually all truth in what Ruby had to say last night.
Wish me well, you can go to hell. Man, I love Ruby Soho, the character. I thought she's an amazing babyface. I really thought she could have been someone who could carry that title, even though they have a very, very strong, dominant woman who has just become an organic babyface. And then I saw her heel promo, and man, when there's an origin story, she gave me her origin story. She carried herself like a top act, and I loved her promo. I also got to give a shout out to Excalibur and Taz especially, for during the match going back to the promo and saying, "Hey, Excalibur, I kind of have to agree on some of the points that Ruby was talking about."
Yeah.
Ruby had poise in her promo, and then what's the best part about it? She blamed the people, and she hit so many lines where if it's heel promo 101, I'm gonna bring you here to get this boo, I'm gonna bring you here to get this boo and get these reactions. There was a lot of truth to her story, and it is like, and I know what it was like to be a babyface who was struggling to get over. And when you think you're doing well and you want this adulation from the fans and they boo you, you're like, but I did everything right. So then why the F should I do everything right for you people? Because you people are the ones. And if I'm sitting in the audience, I'd be like, well, I wasn't at that show. F you, Ruby. Again, I really, really enjoyed her promo. I think she's going to be, if pushed correctly, a very, very top heel. I liked her match that she had to follow up. It was a strong win. I liked the story with Willow, and I think she kind of was needed for that group to kind of still get over in a missing piece. I don't think they're NWO-esque, but she will add Soraya will, you know, would be, could be the heel because she gets people angry at her.
Yeah.
But Ruby, man, I thought her promo was great. And sad to say, I think going forward, sorry, Lars, we should get rid of her music because her music is upbeat and yes, makes people pop. And if you want to be a heel, you tell everybody, you ain't ever hearing that song ever again. Until when? Until she turns babyface. Because that music defines her as this upbeat, alternative, different type of babyface. But take that music away. I mean, honestly, like, music is a big part of everybody. Look what they did with Sami Zayn when his music returned. Think about if Sandman ever turned heel and he took that music away. We can't dance and sing with you? Think of when Jericho cuts his own music and Jericho's, you know, this entertaining heel. But when he's like, you are not worthy to sing my song, boo, we hate you. That's my only thing I would just change with her. I really enjoyed Ruby, and I loved her mission statement. I loved her backstory. I love her origins. And hopefully, if done correctly, she will be a top heel in this group.
Dave, in 1996 or 7, after me and Devon's very first night together where we joined, the first thing I did was take the music away from the Dudleys. No more music. No more Highway to Hell. No more happy song that makes you get on your feet and cheer, because it's a subconscious thing.
Yeah.
You hear a song that you grew up on, you hear a song that you like, you immediately, that rush of, you know, endorphin, serotonin, or whatever, you know, dopamine to the brain makes you happy. Take everything away that makes you happy.
And think of the reaction when the smallest guy, Spike Dudley, that music would hit, Highway to Hell. the people would go nuts and he would get in, get out, do his move, leave. And he was the smallest wrestler in ECW. But it was a party. And who did he first go after? His brothers.
If I'm Ruby Soho, here's a little scene that I would create there in AEW. Next time we see Ruby Soho, her music hits, right?
Yep.
And she comes out to her music and she walks down off the side of the stage. She goes behind the curtain. She goes to wherever the sound guy is. Follow her into the production truck. Have Ruby Soho find the sound guy and beat the shit out of the sound guy and say, don't ever play that song again. And then spray paint that dude. Whatever. So now we understand why the music is not being played anymore, because Ruby and maybe the other girls also bully the sound guy into never playing this. That's going to be heat for her. Now you're taking the music away. Now you're beating the shit out of a regular person. That's how you take the music away. Ruby's promo last night, great job. I like how she put the gun to the head of the spoil entitled brats in the AEW locker room. She was shooting. She was not working. The entire locker room is filled with entitled wrestlers who think that they deserve more when they haven't earned more. One of the things I thought Ruby could have done with the crowd, since she blamed the crowd for creating this monster, was tell the crowd, you are the greatest fans in the world, in which she would have got a monster reaction. But conversely, you are the worst fans that have ever existed. Because a lot of people believe that about the AEW fan base. They are so great, because I always compare them like to that ECW fan base of how behind the company they really are. But on the other hand, they can be extremely toxic. And Tommy, that ECW fan base back in the day when the internet first started, they were pretty toxic in their own, weren't they?
If they turned on you, you had no chance. Like if you were a babyface, did not have a good in-ring performance, they turned on you. If you were a babyface, they would cheer for the heel because they liked their wrestlers and they liked their wrestling. But that's why I always say, I mean, because I've seen it live and I experienced it live, and then I see it. No matter what you do in the ring, it matters to the fans. And at the end of the day, with all the bells and whistles, it's the wrestling that gets you over with the fans. Yes, you could be charismatic on the microphone. You know, what we saw, to Bully's point, MJF, his only, you know, perceived weakness at that time was his wrestling. Boom. He had an amazing friggin' match. He's now known as a great wrestler. So what is his weakness? If you had somebody like, people don't get Orange Cassidy. Excuse me. Couldn't hit my mute button quick enough. And then Orange Cassidy goes out and has been having great matches all the time, but still then throwing in his gimmick. And I've said this a million times, gimmicks are short-lived, but gimmicks that can work will last forever. And, you know, there's a reason why some wrestlers who were gimmicks got over on the short term, and then after that, they kind of fizzle out because their in-ring wasn't the best. You can have this monster, because we had this conversation before. This guy who looks the part, he's going to be this monster heel. They'll feed him everybody. And then all of a sudden, you know, they all, like the wrestlers be like, this guy don't have it. He's not good in the ring. Though they're force feeding him to the fans, then all of a sudden, well, how come this guy's not a top guy? Because he's not good in the ring. And, you know, a lot of people have been faced and looking across the ring with those people. But, your in-ring will tell the tale. And, you know, I really, really think Ruby's in-ring is really, really good, and just how to change it all up. Just those little tweaks where I say she could be. I love Bully's idea. If we're going to go NWO-esque and green's kind of their thing, I remember those vignettes that they used to do in the black and white. I don't know if there's a green filter or if there's like a greenish hue that you can have, like a green and gray or something like that. But when you're showing them, if you want to get these girls over, you know, go full boat, because you have three really, really good in-ring performers Two really know how to get heat. So we'll take it from there.
I would sit Ruby. I thought Ruby had, and I don't know if one of you guys used this word yet this morning, poise. I think you said poise earlier. Yep. She had, I agree with that. She had a ton of poise. She was cool, calm, and collected, confident in what she wanted to say. And I did not feel like Ruby was memorizing lines last night. So much positive. And I love Ruby's look. I love Ruby's presentation. Girls like women like Ruby and Toni Storm, I would be riding like a mother trucker for, because I'm just, that's, they're the type of wrestlers that I'm into when it comes to it factor and look. But my point is this, I would sit Ruby down and watch that promo with her one time and just point out the little things where she shined the most, where she probably doesn't even realize she shined. This moment in time, the way you delivered this one word, or the way you looked, or the tone or the inflection in your voice, that is what you need to bottle. There's what you need to be. Like, now that I've seen last night from Ruby on the microphone, this is the new bar that she has created for herself in my mind. Don't ever go out there and give me a promo that was less than last night, because I know you're capable of better now. And that's what I want to see from Ruby. And I think Ruby can be a real player as a heel for AEW. What they do with it, God only knows, because the start, stop, gas, brake over there is no rhyme or reason. But hopefully, because I think she can make that chick faction really work. And Dave, as you have said, it's kind of not gotten its traction over the past month or so.
No, and Bully, you used a word before that I'm going to throw back out there, and you said the word understand. Finally, I kind of understand what this story is. You know, we talked about it. We tried to make sense of it, but Ruby made me understand what this is all about. So far, Saraya and Toni Storm has not been able to do that. Like, they've been acting like these over-the-top heels, these snarky heels. But why? Why are you acting the way that you're acting? Why are you doing what you're doing? It made no sense to me. And it was playing out on TV without anybody really explaining why they were doing it. We still haven't heard from Saraya, and we still haven't heard from Toni Storm. But now it makes sense because of Ruby's promo last night. Now, I actually want to hear from Saraya. I want to hear from Toni Storm. Because, Tommy, at least what Ruby was able to do is get me intrigued, where it's like, okay, now I get it. Now I want to see what happens next.
Did either of you see, I call it the Revolution pre-show, after Rampage?
No, I did not.
No.
When I tell you, it's one of my favorite things they air before their pay-per-view. It usually airs right after Rampage. And when I tell you, I said, this is what should have been on Dynamite. This is what should have been on, well, mainly Dynamite and then or Rampage. They did a package of the women and put it all together and interviewed them almost like Pulp Fiction style from back in the day. Of why. And Ruby Soho told her story of being stuck in the middle and being a person who, again, she then went to her own personal growing up with her mom, and like being told that, like, hey, the only thing I'm ever going to be good at is being a waitress at a dive bar, and being stuck in the middle. And then you had comments from all the women who were involved in that match. And it was just, it was great. And they did it with all the matches. They did it with Hangman Page and Jon Moxley. They did it with Bryan Danielson and MJF. It gave a lot of, like I said, the origins, the backstory, which for you and for me and for a lot of people, like, we didn't understand why, like, this Ruby thing. And I was like, God, I wish they showed this, because it made me fall in love with Ruby even more, who I'm already a big mark for. And then, and I was like, God, this is it. This is the girl, even though Jamie Hayter is getting these amazing responses. But then when she turned, I was like, ugh, are they just turning for the sake of turning? But then after I listened to her promo again, I was like, this girl's going to be something.
Well, and but really
and
quick.
It's all about the story and the character. Yes. Dave, let me, Tommy, on Tuesday, we had Gigi Dolin on.
Yep.
And to be quite honest, the first 5 minutes Gigi was on, I was just like, meh, whatever. Heard it before. I get it. And then Gigi said something which made me, like, I asked her about her background because I didn't understand something she said. And she said something about, I want to get this right for her, Romani Gypsy. That's like her culture or background. She said, you know, my culture really wasn't accepted. Thank you. My culture wasn't accepted and it was hard for me for this. And when she said that, me, Dave, and Mark, all at the same time, we all perked up and our heads turned like dogs that just heard a whistle. And now the hook was in my mouth. Because I wanted to hear about this Romani Gypsy background. I wanted to hear about the... So you're listening to this story about Ruby. We're listening to the story about Gigi. And this is the interesting stuff. I could give a shit less about a wrestling move. That's the end result. And this is, I think this is one of the things that me and Dave have been talking about for the longest time of the story. And I think this show... This new show that AEW is doing could really help them because just by seeing the coming attractions for the new show, I find myself more emotionally invested in some of these characters than anything that I've seen on TV before. Because what we see on TV now is typical pro wrestling. I don't want typical pro wrestling anymore. I want real life stories with real life people whose animosities and issues culminate in a wrestling ring.
And Bully, you just, you know, you're talking about emotional connection, like what Gigi Dolin did for us on Tuesday. Tommy, you mentioned Britt Baker and you mentioned Jamie Hayter and you're like, you know, Jamie Hayter is over with the AEW fan base. There's no doubt about it. But why? You know, why do the AEW fans love Jamie Hayter? Why, as a viewer sitting on my couch, that's not in the arena, joining in on the crowd noise. Why am I invested in Jamie Hayter? Why should I be rooting for Jamie Hayter? When Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter are doing backstage promos, they're not giving me a reason to get behind them and cheer them. That's why this whole story arc with the women was not grabbing me at all. Because nobody was explaining why I should care. Nobody is explaining why I should be cheering, and nobody was explaining why I was booing. For the first time in months, and this story has been being played out for months, for the first time, somebody gave me a reason to care, and that was Ruby Soho last night. But also to the point of what Bully was talking about, this show All Access, from that commercial that they showed, they showed Britt Baker, you know, being a dentist, you know, They were showing, you know, Britt Baker getting that needle in her back. Britt Baker was talking about our very own Thunder Rosa and how it was affecting Jamie Hayter. Like, wow. In that 30-second promo, they did more than what they've been able to do 3 months on TV.
David, we saw it with Thunder Rosa when she wasn't even a host here and she comes on and talks about me winning Me winning this title changes my life. Yep. She's in tears. And I'm able to buy a home. I'm able to better my home for my parents. Listen,
Tommy, really quick. How about when she was crying to us on the air, you and I, when she was just talking about, and this was just last year. This was last year at Revolution in Orlando. And we had her on after that in the build to her winning the championship, where she was crying to us about the hotel room that they booked for her in Orlando. Like, she was crying, saying, in my entire life, I have never been in such a nice place. The emotions took her over. Like, they never, not in one moment, ever replayed anything that we were able to do in those interviews on their TV show. As a matter of fact, Thunder Rosa never had the opportunity to speak from the build to winning that championship, or even after she won that championship. That, imagine if they were able to do that. Imagine if they were able to capture just a little of the emotion that we were able to do in our interview and have that on Dynamite on a Wednesday.
Yes, and they did do it on the same show before that pay-per-view. They flew a drone over like this small house somewhere in Mexico, and like, you know, her describing her upbringings. I knew it more so because of the background from this show, but they do an amazing job on the show before their major pay-per-views, but they only do what, 4 a year. And I agree, David, I agree 100%. There's also something that you touched on that maybe we can get into in a little bit. There's difference on how people have gotten over, and that's a big, big difference. Because you mentioned Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. There's much difference on how people got over, because you said why, and there, that's a loaded question.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Meet Gail. Her thing is being a supermom. And supermom has a lot on her super-sized plate.
Ain't that the truth.
But at Walmart Pharmacy, supermom recently got her whole family updated on all their vaccines.
We knocked it out during a grocery run. No appointment.
That's next-level supermom. From pneumonia to shingles, HPV, and more, get no-cost vaccinations from an expert pharmacist where you already shop. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart. $0 copay with most insurances. State age and health restrictions may apply.